Warning, the following podcast contains adult language and childish comedy. Listener discretion is advised. And now, please adjust your headphone volume to an unreasonable level and enjoy the most dynamic and electrifyingly entertaining podcast ever to conquer cyberspace. This is Amish Baby Machine with your hosts, Dags and Jeff.
Hello and welcome to the most powerful podcast ever created, the Amish Baby Machine Podcast, starring Dags and Jeff and Google Boy Pasty Adam. How are you, Jeff?
Saw an interesting on Reddit, there's a subreddit called Shower Thoughts, where it's just sort of, kind of random things that people think about when they're in the shower, besides the obvious. But the shower thought I saw was half of marriages end in divorce, the other half end in death.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
How's everyone out there? How are you? How are the flock of Amish? Are you having a good time? I know we are. Jeff, do you wear long underwear?
No.
Is it long underwear or long johns? What do you guys call it out there? Jeff, what do you call it?
I call it long underwear.
You never wear long underwear?
No. I rarely wear a long sleeve in the winter, too.
Because I was imagining you with the trapdoor on there. If you wore long underwear, would you have the trapdoor on there?
The trapdoor, the little hatch in the back. I'm trying to think. No. I don't think I'd be comfortable with the clearances on the hatch on the back. I'd need more room to maneuver as far as wiping and all that.
Jeff, do you ever wear your boxers backwards?
Boxer briefs?
Yes, backwards.
I accidentally have done that, yeah.
You know, when it gets cold, you wonder, like, the outhouse. You wonder how many people just take a shit in their pants and just it's too cold to go out. It's like, you know, when you're driving home and it's like 80 below zero and you got to gas up your car. Isn't that the worst?
You're always pushing it in the winter. You're always on fumes until the sun peaks out for half a second and it gets up to above zero.
They got away. You know,
or the wife takes the car and you're like, oh, get some gas while you're out.
If they had full service filling stations, that's what I like to call them, filling stations, I would pay for it. Would you?
You know, yes. Well, in the winter for sure. Maybe not in the summer. But it's mandatory in New Jersey. You cannot pump your own gas.
So is that the only state?
I think it's one of the only states, yeah. And I don't know why they do it that way. So there are probably people that lived in Jersey all their life, grown up adults, that have never pumped their own gas and wouldn't know how if they did a road trip and hit Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, how many times do you check your oil?
Oh, fuck. In today's cars, you'd never need to.
Yeah.
I mean, I go sometimes 6 months between oil changes.
Yeah, it's like, ping, ping. How you doing, mister? Fill her up. Check the oil. I mean, that'd be awesome.
There are cars from the 50s that had like a little extra shelf in them inside the, under the hood, where you would keep like a can of oil or a quart of oil, just because you put so much in it all the time. Or there's like a little box for tools or something.
Well, before the Obama cash for clunker cars.
That was Bush.
I used to always have crummy cars where you're always pouring in brake fluid and always pouring in all that crap.
And that's, that kind of went away early 90s, maybe late 90s, those cars sort of disappeared. I think it's maybe because the tolerances weren't as good, so things would leak a little bit more, the gaskets weren't as good, but nowadays, you buy a Kia or something like that, and I don't even think you got to ever worry about filling it up unless there's something wrong with it. I mean, you do the regular maintenance on it, but forget about it. I mean, but yeah, that used to be the thing. You would pull up to a gas station, and they would check the oil, because just between fill-ups, you could lose a quart of oil out of a five-quart system. And I think because of that, people aren't as familiar with how their car works, because they don't have to be familiar with it anymore. Back then, you had to know to check the oil, check the transmission fluid, check the coolant, check this.
Did you ever have a car with a carburetor?
No. Because my first car was a Honda Civic. My second was a Plymouth Neon.
Plymouth Neon, not the Dodge Neon. Not the Dodge Neon. What was the difference between those two?
The fact that it said Plymouth on it? That's basically it. I mean, literally the Neons were exactly the same. I think they called the... They maybe had different option packages, and they called them different, but they were probably... They were basically the exact same thing.
I remember seeing the ad. I think they had it during the Super Bowl. And I think it said, like, hello or something.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
It was
is
like
that what
the 94 or 95, because that was the first year it was out.
What color was your neon?
It was like a forest green.
Wouldn't it be neon green?
No, it was forest green. It was a dark green.
What did you find out, Pasty Adam?
It was an Obama program signed into law on August 7th of 09.
Like I said.
Are you sorry?
No.
That you were wrong?
That's what I said. It was Bush.
You said Bush.
Or you said Bush. I said Obama.
You're twisting your words. You're incorrect. Thank you, Pasty Adam.
But
my powerful brain always knows. I'm always right.
Adam, you fired. But TARP was Bush.
But just admit you're wrong. You don't start bringing stuff up.
I'm less than right.
You're less than zero. No, but those old cars were cool, though, because there was always something wrong, and you got more intimate with it. You got more, like I remember, you'd have to wire up your muffler sometimes with a coat hanger.
Oh, yeah.
The muffler would fall down. Going back to the carburetor, a lot of times you'd have to take a screwdriver, pop it open, and then shoot starting fluid
Carb
in there.
Carb cleaner, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I have a can of that somewhere in my garage. Well, mostly because it's a highly flammable substance.
That's Are you huffing that, things. Jeff?
No, I'm not huffing it.
Are you inhaling it?
No.
All right. I remember one time I had a car and the tranny was going out. And it wouldn't go in reverse, so you'd be at like 7-Eleven. The chicks would walk by and then they'd go, all right, push it, go, go. I always had cars that literally would just die. And they go, hey, you can't park that here. No, we're abandoning it. Just like stripes. That was hilarious. What did you ever have a rear-wheel drive car?
My Jeep is rear-wheel. It's there's a lever I can do all-wheel or rear-wheel.
I meant more like a sedan.
No, I've never had like a proper rear-wheel car.
There's something awesome about that, just having that instead of that the feeling of being pulled like the little front-wheel drive.
See, growing up, I lived in a neighborhood where we went uphill. We had to go up a big hill to the cross street and then up another hill to get to the main boulevard. And fucking rear wheel drive, you'd be spinning out all the way up that hill. I mean, all I did all my life was watch cars not get up that hill. So just having the front wheel, I mean, this is winter. It's unique to the hinterlands of up north, but front wheel drive was the only way to go, especially if I'm buying a shitty car. Otherwise, I never would have gotten out of my neighborhood.
I never remembered how to turn the wheels out or in, parking brakes. And
oh,
did you ever leave a parking brake on and like a block later it's smoking?
I had to call my mother once because my car wasn't starting.
I called your mother once too.
And I was giving a guy a ride home and he wanted to stop at Blockbuster. This is how long ago it was. He wanted to stop at Blockbuster, so we stopped, we went in, we went back into the car, and the car would not start. And so he had to call and get a ride. I'm waiting for my mom to pick me up because I was going to have to figure out a tow truck. And as I'm sitting there in the car, I looked down and went, my car's in drive. It was an automatic Honda Civic, and when it was in drive, it wouldn't start. So I put the thing in park, and it fired right up, and I went, ah, fuck. So that's my parking brake story, because I never used a parking brake because I've always driven automatics.
I know. I mean, we were talking about, we always talk about the newer cars and the old cars. And the new thing I like about cars is the camera, the backup camera, rear view camera. That's incredible, isn't it?
It's super, super convenient to have.
Because, I mean, were you good at parallel parking? Some people, it's like an art form to be good at that.
You know, I'm real hit or miss. Sometimes I'll nail it first try, and sometimes it's like I'll just pull on the grass, just park on the yard.
Because now, I mean, with the camera, I mean, you got the...
I was always kind of... I could never figure out when to cut the wheel was my issue. And sometimes I would nail it, and other times it just... I'd be half in the lane still. There's a gaming store, miniature tabletop game store.
You're into that?
In Minneapolis. That's wow. Got like 3 parking spots, and it's on the side of the road, and I always got to fucking finagle the car into that place.
McRib. McDonald's skips the national McRib rollout.
I've had one McRib in my life and didn't care for it.
Pasty Adam?
Not a huge fan either.
All right, turn your mic off. I'm tired of you. Yep. McRib fans may have to hunt harder than usual for the popular sandwich this year. It will only be available at participating restaurants rather than nationwide, the company said. We're letting the restaurants determine if this menu item is one their customers will enjoy, wrote McDonald's spokesperson, who cares, in an email.
Do you like the McRib? Is it worth your time to find?
You know what's weird about the McRib is? A lot of people go crazy about it. I mean, it's really popular. Like, it's like the Shamrock Shake?
Oh, yeah.
Huge. I think women like the Shamrock. Why is that? Yeah. Why do women like the Shamrock
because
Shake?
Because women can't be satisfied with just the flavors we have. They can't just be fine with vanilla or chocolate. It's got to be pumpkin spice in the fall. It's got to be the Shamrock Shake in the spring. It's got to be. It can't just be regular iced tea. It's got to be passion fruit iced tea. I blame women. They're not fine with just the status quo. It's got to be accessorized.
We need that demographic. What can we do to our show? Can we put some? Well, we pretty much have a woman. We have Adam right now. I mean, basically, that's close enough, right? Basically. Shouldn't that bring in some more chicks digging our show or what? You know what's weird about the McRib? Germany is the only country that has it all year round.
Is that, do you think it's because they're not a beef company? Or a country? You know, I mean, I'm literally guessing, but do you think maybe they don't eat as much beef and so pork is more popular over there? Or pigs are more popular?
I would think, like, in Asia that it would be more popular, like the Philippines, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But that's not how they eat the beef or the pork in the Pacific Rim.
I don't know.
But yeah, you're right. Pigs are probably more prevalent in the Pacific cultures.
What were you talking about Sriracha and the Taco Bells? Or
yeah, so I read Taco Bell is testing in the Kansas City area at about 70 different restaurants, Sriracha-flavored. Now, I don't think they're adding anything to their menu. I think they have the option of a Sriracha sauce and the menu items they already have. And they're trying to feel out the market and see if Sriracha really does make everything taste better. And so they're testing it out in Kansas City. I kind of have mixed feelings about this. I think it's cool that they're, again, not necessarily innovating, but pushing their menu in the right direction. But I don't care for spicy. So this really kind of affects me in no way as far as my Taco Bell experience. Do you dig the Sriracha? Do you need the spicy?
I like it, but I'm not all, you know how people get all trendy with the Sriracha?
Right.
I like, there's got to be a balance of spice to flavor. And I think Sriracha's got a lot of flavor. But a lot of people, they always have to push the envelope with the stupid Buchalokia, the ghost peppers, and it's just pure pain. That's not even flavor.
And then they're just, it's kind of a coolness thing. It's like, how much can I make this hurt and how impressive can I be? It's like, you can drink or eat the hottest thing on the planet and burn your tongue off. That's great. I'm going to enjoy my food. Thank you.
Well, it looks like you enjoy your food. I can tell. And then you get the hot hole afterwards, too, when you eat the spicy food. So I'm not a big fan of that. Did you hear about this new mini space shuttle? The X-37B? Oh, you know about it.
Oh, of course I know about this.
What do you know about it?
I probably know too much and I shouldn't talk about it. No, it's a X-37B is a reusable space plane that the Air Force I think they first launched in 2011, plus or minus. And I think so it's a small plane. It's what do we figure, the size of like maybe a short bus, something like that?
Yeah, it's pretty much about the size of the bus you used in grade school and high school. It stands 9.5 feet, almost 3 meters for you non-Americans. It's just over 29 feet long, 8 meters, with a wingspan less than 15 feet. It weighs 11,000 pounds, and it has solar panels that unfurl to charge its batteries once in orbit. That's just the facts right there, baby.
And so it just shattered the orbiting record for a space plane. They would have to do like 600 days, like 2 years or something like that. Broke its own record, previous record of 200 and some days. There's two of them, and the flights are OTB-1, OTB-2, OTB-3, I think. And flights 1 and 2 have been this, 1 and 3 were the same plane. But it launches on top of a Atlas V rocket, which is far cheaper than launching a shuttle into space, the actual space shuttle. And nobody really knows what this plane does. There's a lot of theories. It's got, obviously, endurance capabilities. You were saying some people think that it's really just up there to dick with the Chinese. Some people think it's like a spy plane. What's interesting is the part of the Air Force that's in charge of it is the Air Force Rapid Deployment Force. And I don't know if you can read anything into that or if that's just who happened to get control of it. But it's highly secretive. Nobody really knows what it does, except it stays up there a long, long time, which I think is cool.
We've had a lot of cool planes. I mean, there was the SR-71, mm-hmm. Blackbird.
Also the A-12, which is the CIA version.
We had the Bono plane. U-2.
Yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of Aurora?
Yeah, so Aurora was, in theory, the follow-up to the SR-71. Another high-velocity spy plane. I don't think they ever...
Google boy, can you look up Aurora for us?
I don't think they ever unclassified that.
Supposedly, you know, the internet conspiracy guys said that they're doing some bookkeeping or something, mm-hmm. and the name came up,
mm-hmm.
like the Aurora Project,
mm-hmm.
and that's how that name came around.
And people, you know, are always trying to watch what's taking off and landing from Area 51, trying to figure out what the next, because that's where they tested, like, the stealth fighter and the stealth bomber and stuff like that.
Which is, I mean, the B-2, that's just a ripoff of the Flying Wing.
Yeah.
From World War II,
yeah.
Germany.
Yeah, and it never worked until the 80s because flying something that's a flying wing doesn't have the upright stabilizer is really hard to do. It's a very unstable platform, so you need the computers that react quicker than a human can.
It's much like the bumblebee. The bumblebee shouldn't fly,
Shouldn't fly.
But it does.
Aurora is theoretically the follow-up to SR-71, high-speed spy plane. Some people think it was a high-speed plane developed to, like, drop Navy SEALs into an area. So, you know, if something pops up, you get them in a plane that goes Mach 12, they're there within 2 hours, and they can parachute out once you slow down.
There was a show in the 70s. Project Blue Book, I think it was. Did you ever hear about that?
No.
And I believe Project Blue Book, we'll have Google Boy look it up because he's so good at looking things up. It was the Air Force to prove or disprove UFOs, and they'd go around, if I remember right, and investigate UFO sightings. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty cool show.
Was it? So it was like a documentary from the 70s.
It was actually a
reality program.
No, it was kind of like just fiction, but it was kind of mixed in there.
Oh, so it's a fiction show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And maybe you got to think
like an early X-Files almost.
Yeah, I was saying the X-Files were influenced by it definitely. So was the, you know, we were talking about the Night Stalker.
Kolchak, the Night Stalker.
Definitely influenced by X-Files. X-Files is a cool show. Do you think? They could come out with another show like that. Would it work? Or Or are we too jaded now?
Fringe was sort of like that, but Fringe was done by the same people that did Lost, and it starts out fine, but it just keeps going deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole. And at a certain point, it's just they got so many elements going on and so fantastical. It's just it lost me. Like X-Files, you'd have the story, and it was almost like they're about to find out something about aliens or something, and then the ship was gone, and it was reset to zero every week.
What did you like better on the X-Files? Did you like the more horror or the more sci-fi part of it, or
sci-fi?
Okay, so you didn't really like the horror.
No, I did. But the thing is, it always had a nice sense of humor about it. And that came out more with Agent Mulder than it did Scully. And also the Lone Gunman kind of brought some comedy to it.
Yeah. Pasty Adam, what did you find out about Project Blue Book?
That actually wasn't the name of the show. That was the actual government's project, was Project Blue Book. But the show you were thinking of is Project UFO. That ran from 1978 through 1979.
How many episodes were there? 9?
It ran for 2 seasons.
Oh, okay. I remember it had a cool theme song, I believe. Write that down, Jeff. Project UFO, did you got it?
Written.
Wow. How'd you do that? That's like an X-Files thing. Also, I think, Jeff, right now, you should probably tell the kids where they can enjoy our show.
You can find us on iTunes. Find us on Stitcher. Both are great places to listen to us. And you can like us and subscribe to us on both of those beautiful, what do you call them, outlets.
I do appreciate all the nice reviews you folks have been writing. Keep them up.
And, of course, Stitcher is available on basically any device that powers on. Kindle, iOS devices, Android devices. Sometimes it's even the newer cars. It's got it in Dash, which is pretty cool. So you can listen to your podcasts and build a playlist on your long road trips to wherever you're going. To Kansas City if you're trying to find the Sriracha, if you're on a McRib hunt.
To Tennessee.
And don't forget, you can interact with us on Twitter, at AmishBMachine. If you Google us, Amish Baby Machine, you'll get our website, AmishBabyMachine.com. You'll also get our Vine, our Instagram, our YouTube, our Google+, our Facebook, where you can like us, our Instagram. Do I repeat myself?
I don't care. I don't listen to you. Keep going.
And then if you go to Patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon.com, and type in Amish Baby Machine, you can contribute and help us and donate and elevate the show to new heights. It's like a barn raising, but for a podcast. You can do a donation subscription there. You can do it a one-time or a recurring monthly. Anything helps. We're trying to upgrade our equipment. We're trying to get Pasty Adam a new mic because we had to dig one of the shitty old ones out of the barn for him. Did I get it all?
Think you did.
I'm good at that.
You are good. Yeah, we really appreciate everyone that listens to the show. And I was thinking guerrilla advertising. I think you kids are smarter than we are. Figure out a way to pimp the show. Adam, what was your one idea, Adam? You had that you went into the Apple store, and what'd you do? Unofficially?
Unofficially, I subscribed to the show on some of the demo units at the Apple store.
Yeah, I think you kids should do everything legal to spread the word of the Amish Baby Machine podcast. Maybe some sidewalk chalk art. I'm really into that. Are you into that, Jeff?
You could, yeah. Sidewalk chalk. Sidewalk art.
Yeah.
I'm mixing words. Also, you know, if you took down a stop sign and replaced it with an Amish Baby Machine.
No,
oh, no. That's not, all right.
Against the law. I want 100% legal. You know, I don't know. You guys are smarter than we are. Spread the word. Spread the word of the Amish Baby Machine podcast. Jeff, did you hear about Slipknot? I know you're a big Slipknot fan. They have a great plan to stink up a music festival.
What do you mean, stink it up?
literally stink it up. They want to set camel dung on fire. Just throw it in like drums. They wanted to have filled drums with camel poop and oil and set them ablaze. The 3-day Knotfest Music Festival. It's going to be in San Bernardino. They wanted to. Their desire was to stench, to infest your brain, body, and clothes for days.
Where do you buy quantities of camel poop? Like that, I think that's where really the plan would have hung up before even they got disallowed by the concert planners. I think it's just, even if they'd gotten a nod from the people putting on the concert, they'd have gone, all right, great, we're going to do this. And they went, oh, shit, Amazon doesn't have camel poop in cases like Surge.
I think there's areas in the world where you could get camel poop. But apparently the fire department didn't enjoy their... But I had an idea, like, how about just, like, burning Nickelback records? That'd be a powerful stench, wouldn't it?
Stink. It would definitely have, like, a purpose, but I don't know if it would stink so much. But, you know, there's got to be more readily available sources of dung, I think.
What would you burn to make it really stinky?
Eggs.
You would burn eggs. Wouldn't that...
Hard-boiled eggs.
Wouldn't that be delicious? It would smell like breakfast.
Like burnt hard-boiled eggs. I don't know if that would smell that good.
I think it would be delicious. Song of the day, Jeff.
Hit it.
At Coach Beagley. At Coach Beagley. Make sure you follow him. Powerful. Powerful Twitter person. Easy E, Easy does it.
We talked about Easy E last week, didn't we? Because we talked about Return of the Mac.
I have a powerful Easy E meme on the website, AmishBabyMachine.com. You guys should check out.
Is this the song that I know from Easy E or is it not?
You might know
it. It's his top hit, isn't it?
It's a hit, yeah.
Yeah.
Pasty Adam, were you into the NWA?
That was a little before my time.
What? I don't even know what that means. So you don't know any music before you were born?
I was never an NWA fan.
What were you a fan of? Of old school hip hop?
Probably the...
Well, I know Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Well, obviously. He's awesome.
Who else? Did you like the...
I liked all the really campy things. Vanilla Ice, Sir Mix-a-Lot, things like that.
The novelty acts? Did you like Biz Markie?
Never really heard any of his stuff.
You got what I need, and you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you. That one? You don't know that one?
I've heard that one a couple of times. Yeah, that's not too bad.
That's a wonderful song.
I prefer Markie Post.
Markie Post, yeah. She had big fans of Bill Clinton, I believe she was. What old school stuff did you like, Jeff? What old school rap?
Of course, there's Snow.
Oh, my God. Snow, yes. Pasty Adam is
and his album
nodding in improvement.
That was one of my first CDs I ever owned.
That is a great one. What else? Snow? Informer?
Yes. You know, I'm probably, the first real kind of rap that I got into was probably the early Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre. Not NWA stuff, but like Chronic, that album. I was listening to, on the radio, Cypress Hill today. Insane in the Brain.
Classic.
I'm trying to think who else.
Did you like Run DMC?
Wasn't a big Run DMC fan. I think what they did with Aerosmith was cool, but yeah. That's because I'm an Aerosmith fan.
LL Cool J?
Yeah.
Cool Mo D?
No. Who's cool? I'm trying to place Cool Mo D.
He had a bunch of tunes like Wild Wild West.
I thought Stevie Wonder did that.
Stevie Wonder, yeah. No, not so much. All right, guys. On that note, we're going to wrap this bad boy up. We enjoy everyone enjoying our show. Thanks for listening. If you could do us a favor, trying to get the word out on the show, just tell a friend. Jeff came up with that. He's his genius. What is it? Tell a friend and so on and so on. What was that commercial? Remember they did it in Wayne's World? They made fun of the commercial? I'm going to look it up. I think it was some... You're supposed to tell two friends and so on, it just spreads exponentially.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I can't. I'll find it and I'll put it in the show notes on how much.
I want to say it's balsam and something protein shampoo or something. Breck shampoo?
Ladies and gentlemen, you're traveling inside of the brain of Dax.
Yeah, I'm scared. I'm getting a lot of visions and ideas. Anyway, let's get this one-way train or this train back on this one-way track. We're going to wrap this bad boy up. Like I said, we enjoy everyone that enjoys our show. Thanks for listening. I'm Dags. Over there is Jeff. Over there is Pasty Boy Adam. And we'll see you next time on the Amish Baby Machine Podcast.
We hoped you enjoyed this episode of the Amish Baby Machine Podcast. The Amish Baby Machine Podcast is available on iTunes and on the Stitcher radio app, available for iPhone, iPad, Android, and Kindle Fire. Please follow us on Twitter at Amish B Machine and visit our webpage, www.amishbabymachine.com. Thank you for listening. This has been an Amish Baby Machine production, all rights reserved.